verses 4 through 6, 2 John, and we want to consider together what does it mean to walk in the truth. 2 John and verses 4 through 6, but we'll read from verse 1. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Let us pray together. O gracious Father, when we consider your love for us and your grace and mercy to us, surely we are moved. Surely we must acknowledge that you have done great and glorious things on our behalf, things that we did not deserve. You have treated us like Joseph. You have brought us out of the pit. We are heirs with Christ. You have certainly treated us like Daniel, delivering us from those powerful beasts, beasts of sin. You have set us free. Gracious God, remind ourselves of your goodness to us this morning. What does it mean, Father, to walk in the truth? Help us, we pray, each one, to understand your word. May the Holy Spirit teach us the things of Christ. This we pray and ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Sometimes the distance between our minds and our hearts is like that of, I suppose, Sarasota to Outer Mongolia, far removed from each other. The great thing about this second epistle of John is that John provides the bridge between mind and heart. John wants to narrow the gap. There shouldn't be a gap between our minds and our hearts. The scriptures are designed by God to inform us and to inflame us, to help us to understand and know what God has said so that we can be effective and that we can be used by God. And so the Apostle John, as he writes so long ago, is writing because he is concerned about the truth. And the truth is the teaching of Jesus. That's what he says, the teaching of Christ. And he wants us to understand the truth, because when we understand the truth and the truth gets a grip of us, then we shall find that we shall live or walk, as John says, in the truth. And you can't walk in the truth unless, of course, you know the truth. And the Apostle John has begun, has he not, by delivering the truth in one sense. In verse 1 and 2, he just launches, as it were, into these facts. We are to love in the truth. We are to know the truth. And we're to abide in the truth, because the truth actually abides. The truth remains and will be with us forever. And loving in the truth is about a horizontal relationship, as we've said. That's between you and me. And when we love each other, we are to do it in the truth. But we can only love each other on the horizontal level if we have the vertical level between ourselves and God right. We know the truth. You can only love in the truth if you know the truth. Not only is there this horizontal application and vertical application, but there's an enduring application. The truth abides in us and with us and will be with us forever, John says. And then John provides us, doesn't he, with the glue that holds it all together. He talks about in verse 3, grace, mercy, and peace that shall be with us. We already have experienced grace and mercy and peace. But he says this will be with us. And it comes to us from the Father and from Jesus, the Father's Son. And how does it come? How is this package of grace, mercy, and peace coming to us? It comes to us in truth and in love. Now, when we come to verses 4 through 6, we have really come to the first major section. John is preparing us for what follows in verses 7 through 11. And verse 4 through 6 is about walking in the truth. And he's going to tell us what that means and how we do that. But he's really laying the foundation and preparing us for being able to witness to the truth in verses 7 through 11. And how do we witness to the truth? We must reject false teaching. That's number one. And if you reject false teaching, what do you do on the other side? You remain in the teaching. The teaching of Christ. And so if you want to avoid imbibing false teaching, then you must know that which is true teaching. You must know the gospel. You must know the teaching of Jesus, the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth. The gospel is the truth. And it's the truth about God, and it's the truth about ourselves. Because the knowledge of God brings with it the understanding of who God is and who we are in the light of God. And we discover, do we not, that our relationship with God is affected by our sins. We are troubled, aren't we, because of our sins. I just almost finished reading a biography of Martin Luther this past week. And he was a man who really knew what sin was. Oh, he tried everything to get rid of sin so that he could know the truth. But he had to come to the realization that only Christ takes away our sin. Only Christ delivers us. Only Jesus sets us free. And you can only do that by coming to the truth, knowing the truth. But now that we've come to know the truth and we love in the truth and we know that the truth abides in us and will be with us, how are we to live that truth? That's what John wants to bring our attention to in verses 4 through 6. How are you living out the truth that you say you believe, your confession? This great profession that we've made, that we believe. Credo, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And I believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I believe in God the Holy Spirit. And on and on and on we go in our confession. Well, how do you live that? Because you see, once we get to grips of how do we live it, then we can handle the false teaching that's going to come in verse 7 through 11. So let's look at these verses together, verses 4 through 6. Now, let me give you the bridge between mind and heart. There's three things. Number one, our confession, which has to do with our doctrine. You know, doctrine is important. We're living in a day and age where doctrine is depreciated, unappreciated. The church is bankrupt because we lack teaching. So our confession, doctrine, is very important. That's number one. Number two, John, when he bridges the gap between mind and heart, talks about behavior, and that's ethics. You see, what we believe affects how we live. Always. Always. You can't get away from it. The lower your understanding, the lower your living out. It's just in accordance, it's in proportion with what you know. So somehow, if we want to live for Christ, we have to raise the knowledge level, the understanding level. So from doctrine to ethics. And finally, John's going to tell us about relationship, about devotion to God, devotion to Jesus. All of those three things are together. Now, the Apostle John loves to weave themes together. So you will find when you read the first epistle, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, that he often talks about joy and love and truth and abiding and all of these things. And each of those stands individually, complete in and of itself. But when you put them all together, they work together and they're in harmony together. And that's the bridge that he's providing for us between what we know and how to live it out. Our confession, our doctrine, our behavior, our ethics. And finally, our relationship. Just how devoted are you really to Christ? So, first of all, will you notice with me in verse 4 that God commands us to walk in the truth. God commands us to walk in the truth. It's not really an option, is it? If you're a Christian, it's not an option. Well, I think I'll walk in the truth or I won't walk in the truth. It's not an option for us. What John wants us to know in verse 4 is that God commands us to walk in the truth. And the first thing I want you to notice is that about what John is saying is that truth is rewarding. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, "I rejoiced greatly." You see that little word greatly? It's only used 12 times in the New Testament. Did John really rejoice? He says, "I rejoiced how? Greatly." It's one thing to say you rejoice, but to say, "I rejoiced greatly." Well, he's just emphasizing that this means something to him. What means something to him? The truth. "I rejoice greatly to find some of your children doing what? Walking in the truth." That's why he's rejoicing. There's a rewarding aspect, is there not, to walking in the truth. He rejoices. This is one of the things that elders in the church have to confront all the time. When someone drifts away from the truth and their behavior doesn't reflect the truth, you have to call them back to the truth. And when you see them responding and walking in the truth, you rejoice, and that's a rewarding experience. You see, the truth is rewarding. Haven't you found that in your own experience? That there are benefits to be gained by knowing the truth? In fact, when it comes to facing temptation, you better know the truth. When it comes to dealing with sin, you better know the truth. That's all you have. And Jesus is in the truth, and Jesus is the truth. So we need to understand the gospel. We need to understand our Lord Jesus Christ as he is found in the Word. So John rejoices. Now you know Jesus rejoiced, didn't he? When he was at the tomb of Lazarus in John chapter 11, he rejoiced that God would be glorified through what was going to happen. Lazarus coming out of the tomb. Jesus rejoiced. What about the Apostle Paul? Well, he just laces his epistles, doesn't he, with joy. Especially Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, what does he say? Rejoice. So this idea of joy is obviously connected with living something out. Paul's not just rejoicing in whatever it is with the Philippians. He's rejoicing that Jesus is actually preached. He rejoiced that Jesus was proclaimed in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 18. So this whole idea of the truth being rewarding is connected with the fact that there is joy within it. If you are going to obey the commandment of God to walk in the truth, you need to recognize that the truth brings rewards with it. Joy. John says, "I rejoiced greatly." And his rejoicing is linked to the truth that some of your children were walking, he says, in the truth. Now, you see that phrase, "some of your children"? This is why I take this to be a letter to an individual Christian lady and her children, as opposed to a congregation at large. Some of your children? If believers are children of God, then a congregation is all believers. Those who are not walking in the truth are not children in the congregation. Therefore, they're not Christians. And that's exactly what he's saying, I think, on the individual level, that in this family, there are some who are walking in the truth and others who are not. And you can only walk in the truth if you are, first of all, a Christian. So I think he's writing to this Christian lady whom he calls in verse 5, dear lady, whom he calls in verse 1, elect lady. And he's writing to these children, or to this lady with her children who walk in the truth. Now let's just think about the bridge for a moment and walking in the truth. What is your confession? Your confession has to be the truth, right? What is your behavior? That must be your walking. And what is your relationship between the two? In the truth. Walking in the truth. Not walking around the truth, walking outside the truth, but walking in the truth. I'm in the truth when I live out this Christian experience, this Christian life. So John rejoices that there were some children there who were walking in the truth. And that was, he says, a rewarding experience. That's the first thing. Secondly, truth is recognizable. Did you know that? We can recognize the truth. He says to find some of your children. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth. Well, how do you know that truth is recognizable? Because truth is visible and truth is audible. You can see it. You can hear it. You can see those who are walking in the truth. There's an outward aspect display, walking. That's what is seen. And when you listen to how they talk and the things that they say, isn't that interesting when Christians get together and Christian fellowship, there's something about it, isn't there? We are united in the truth. And we rejoice in the truth. And we recognize the truth. So truth is recognizable, John wants to say. And what is he talking about? He's talking about your behavior. That's where the truth is seen. That's where the truth is heard, right? In your behavior, the walking aspect of it. So what does that mean for me as a Christian when it comes to the truth and me walking in the truth? Well, it means, first of all, I must assert the truth. I must be able to state the truth. I must be clear about the truth. It's a sad thing that the Christian church today is vague on the truth. Doesn't seem to have a grip of the truth or understand the truth, but is lost. There are those who will tell you in the church we should be preaching about politics. There are a lot of injustices in the world. And we should be correcting those injustices. Well, yes, the church has a word to say to that. But politics is not the gospel. Only Christ is the gospel. The opinions of men don't count. Only the truth counts. But what you think about the truth in your mind, so that it's going to affect your heart, is crucial. But you better be in the truth, to know the truth, to live it out. Then truth will be recognizable. We'll see it. We'll hear it, and so on. So I assert the truth. I must affirm the truth. I agree with the truth. Not only do I state it, either positively or negatively, but I agree with it. You'll notice in verses 7 through 11, John actually warns with respect to false teaching and with respect to true teaching, do not go beyond the teaching. Don't go beyond the teaching. No, all we have to do is say, this is the truth. This is the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. Truth is like an umbrella. We are to live under it. Always. Get outside of the truth, you're in trouble. So think of that. The truth is my umbrella, and I live my life under the truth. And then you shall find that you're walking in the truth. So truth is recognizable. Thirdly, John wants to say in this verse that truth is received. Because look what he talks about. He says, just as you were commanded by the Father, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. You know, a Christian is known by his or her obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to God, which is the same as saying obedience to the truth. A Christian is one whose life is the truth on display. Ooh, that's a shocker, isn't it? A Christian is someone whose life is the truth on display. That's who you are. You're in the truth, is what John wants us to say. Now, dear congregation, you know, disobedience is such a natural thing to us. That's the trouble, isn't it? That's the heartache that we have, that we are actually so disobedient. We know the truth, but then we find ourselves maybe disobeying the truth. We don't like it, but we do it, and we sin, and we're troubled by our sins. When Luther was confronted with his sins, and he came to the realization that to be justified, to be right with God, is a gift from God, that the passive righteousness of God is imputed to us. It's mine. He gave it to us, this righteousness of God, so that God could accept us. Without that righteousness, God does not accept us. Which says one thing: you need Christ all the time. You need Christ every second of every day of your life. Oh, we need the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? Because we're prone to wander, prone to sin. And this world is with devils filled. We're in trouble. So we must lean on Christ. Well, how do you do that? You've got to keep receiving the truth. God says, the commandment of the Father is this: keep receiving the truth so that you can keep walking in the truth. The Apostle John is wanting to say to us, listen, when you obey God, that's a fruit of your salvation. If you're not a Christian, you can't obey God. You disobey Him. But if you are a Christian, then obedience is part of being a Christian. We want to obey. We love to obey. We delight to obey. Walk in the truth. And notice, just as we were commanded by the Father. Now, you know, Jesus taught the commandments of the Father, didn't He? I received this command from my Father. And whatever Jesus said, I received from the Father, I communicated it, He says, to you. I've spoken the truth. I've declared the truth from God. I've declared to you. The Lord Jesus said that. Now, I want to show you this. If you go back to 1 John chapter 3, look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. First John chapter 3, verse 23. What does John say? He says, and this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? You are to believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love each other because it's the commandment of God. That's it. God commands us to walk in the truth here in 2 John. And then He tells us that the commandment is actually to believe. And really, what are you believing? Believing the truth, believing the gospel, believing the Lord Jesus Christ, the commandment of God. So whatever God has said, we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and we love one another. And notice the believing comes before the loving. You can't love without the believing. It will be self-centered love then. It will be self-serving love. It will not be glorifying to the Father, to God kind of love. Look at chapter 2 of 1 John and verses 3 through 6. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And by this we know that we have come to know Him. I like that. This is how I know that I have come to know Him. If we keep His commandments. Do you say that you know God? There's only one way you can say that. If you keep His commandments. Verse 4. Whoever says, okay, now he gets individual. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar. And look what he says about the liar. His truth is not in him, but whoever keeps His word, verse 5, in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. You know, the Epistle of John, by the way, is notoriously difficult to try and outline. He just repeats himself in so many different ways, doesn't he? Knowing, obeying, loving, remaining, and so on. And here, notice when you look at these passages in 2 John, that knowing the Father is keeping His commandments. You see in verse 4 of 1 John chapter 2, whoever says, that's your confession. Whoever says, I know Him. That's your confession. And if your confession is, I know Him, but you don't keep His commandments, you really don't know Him. You really don't know the truth. Therefore, you're not walking in the truth. Whoever says, you see what he says? And then verse 5, whoever keeps, notice the contrast. You can say, verse 4, but in verse 5, but whoever keeps, that's the obedience. So you can make a confession, but have no obedience, which means no fruit, no evidence. You say it, but you don't have it, is what John's saying. Therefore, what kind of behavior would you exhibit? Well, you'd be a liar. Doesn't the scriptures exhort us, or as Paul says, God commands all men everywhere to do what? To repent. He commands them. Doesn't ask them. Doesn't invite them. He charges them with His commandment, repent. That's what God says. It's not an option. It's not, well, if I feel like it today, or if I'm capable of it today, or at any time. No. God commands us to repent. Every man, everywhere. So there is a connection between what I say and the fruit of my life. Walking in the truth is connected to my confessing, but my practicing also. Whoever keeps His commandment, whoever does what He says. If you love Me, Jesus said, if you love Me, you will do what? Keep My commandments. If you love Me. So, the first thing is, in verse 4, God commands us to walk in the truth. Secondly, in verse 5, God commands us to do what? To love one another. Look what He says in verse 5. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, and here it is, here's the commandment, that we love one another. So the first commandment is to walk in the truth, and now He says, God commands us to love one another. By the way, love one another in the epistles of John, this is the last one of 6 usages, so this is number 6, the other 5 are in the first epistle of John. 6 times He tells us, love one another, love one another, love one another. It's already in the Gospel of John, isn't it? This idea of loving one another because Christ loved me is inimical to John. It's part of John's life. He reveled, didn't he, in the love of God and the love of Christ. He is the disciple whom Jesus loved. There was a chemistry. There was a demonstration between Jesus and John, both ways, from Jesus to John and from John to Jesus, that they loved each other, the disciple that Jesus loved. No wonder He can speak about loving one another. He's learnt it from the Master Himself. God's command to each of us is to love one another. Now, if walking in the truth is doctrinal and connected to the truth, loving one another is practicing the truth. That's what he is saying. And in essence, what John is really saying to us is that if you walk in the truth, you will love one another. If you are loving one another, you are walking in the truth. So here's the confessional aspect, the doctrinal aspect, the truth, and I'm walking in it. But here's the practical application of it. I love one another, or we love each other. Now, first of all, will you notice that loving one another is a request? Because look what John says. He says, verse 5, and now I ask you. That's a strange way to put it. This is not a command. John is not saying, I'm commanding you to love one another, though, of course, Jesus has said that, and John says it elsewhere, but here he says it as a request. I ask you, dear lady. So he makes the commandment of God to love one another his request. Secondly, notice that loving one another is reciprocal because John includes himself, doesn't he? Look what it says. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is not just for you, dear lady, and your children. This is for me also. This is a reciprocal thing. I'm part of it. I'm not just charging you and leaving it at that. No, I am under this same obligation to love one another. So I love you and you love me. That's what he is saying. It's a reciprocal relationship. And the Lord Jesus said, didn't he, in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you what? Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So it's a request. It's reciprocal. And will you notice that loving one another for John is a reminder? He loves to remind us of this truth. An important truth, that we love one another. Notice what he says. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning. So he's not reminding them of something brand new, as if, wow, what is this truth now, John, that we are to love one another? We've never heard that before. That's not what John is saying. No, John says, we've heard this from the beginning. I was there at the beginning. I heard it from Jesus himself. This commandment in John chapter 13 and 34, that we are to love one another, because Jesus has loved us. And so he says it's a reminder. And notice what he says, from the beginning. Well, I think the from the beginning is not the beginning of the elect lady and her children becoming Christians, but when the commandment was given, John chapter 13, by the Lord Jesus himself. That's the beginning. And so he says, what I'm asking you is, and what I'm writing to you is not a new commandment. This is old, this commandment. When Jesus said it first, it was a new commandment I give unto you. But now John, many years down the road, looks back to the beginning and he says, well, the commandment is not new today. It was new back then. It's an old commandment. It's the commandment of God now. But we've had this commandment, he says, from back then. And so he says, I have to remind myself of that. Not as though I'm writing you a new commandment, but one that we have had from the beginning. So, not only is it a request to love one another and a reciprocal relationship, loving each other, John including himself, but here he says that love is a reminder to him, this loving one another. Not a new commandment, but the one that we have always had from the beginning. Now, you know, when you look at the Old Testament and the commandments of God, what are they? There are only two, really, are they not? Out of all the commandments, you can break them down and you come up with two. Number one, love God. Number two, love your neighbor. If you love God, you love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you love God. They're together. Can't separate them. You can't say, well, I loved my neighbor today, but I don't love God. Can't do that. Loving God and loving our neighbor are the same. We love God means we love our neighbors and vice versa. So God's commandments require obedience, don't they? They're commandments. A commandment always requires observation and obedience. So if John says, by way of request, that we love one another, and the Old Testament is full of the commandment to love God and to love our neighbor, and that commandment which seems to have come into the New Testament, and when Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, he adds to it not just loving God, loving our neighbor, but loving each other. And he's talking about the body of disciples. He's talking about believers. That's you and me this morning, if we make the confession about the truth, that we belong to it and it's ours. And the Lord Jesus Christ works in our hearts by the Holy Spirit to enable us and to ensure that we love one another. The more you submit yourself to the leading and direction of the Spirit, the more you will find that you love one another. You know, love is a sacrificial giving, isn't it? Of yourself. It costs something. Love is a sacrificial serving of one another, isn't it? It's giving of myself. It's, as the scriptures might say, being prepared to lay down my life for the brothers and sisters, the brethren. That's love. Greater love has no man than this, than a man should lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for us. That's a demonstration of love, isn't it? The love of God, the love of Christ. What is that love going to produce? It's going to produce a life that pleases God. Loving one another is the evidence of walking in the truth, knowing the truth, living out the truth. You know, people are not projects. Sometimes we take it upon ourselves to work a project in people's lives. No, people are not projects. That's not what John's saying. John is saying that we must have a real affection for one another. Now, how are you going to develop a real affection for one another if you get up out here and walk out that door and leave, and we don't see you until next Sunday? Let's be frank. How are you going to develop a real affection for your brothers and sisters? That's why we have a lunch today. So it'll be packed out, right? Think about these things. Because what you say, I'm a Christian, is one thing, but what you do is another thing. This is the life of the body here together, not out there. In your home, yes, you must demonstrate Christian love there, of course, but here together in our fellowship, we love one another, and that's a demonstration that I'm in the truth. Now, if you don't love that, then maybe you don't love the truth. How sad is that? Verse 6 is the explanation of what love is. Okay, now you say to me, well, what is love, John? Okay, here it comes, verse 6. And not only the explanation, but the application. How do I do it? Okay, so let's take it first, the explanation. Look at verse 6. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. Well, I thought you were going to come up with something special, John. I thought you were going to come up with a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and that means I love my brother and sister. That's not what John says. What is love? Love, he says, is walking according to his commandments. Well, you know his commandments, don't you? Because you know the truth. Love is not some airy-fairy doctrine. Love is factual. Love always takes an object, always has an object. And doesn't John explain our confession? We walk according to his commandment. Okay, What is that? Look what he says, verse 6. This is the commandment. You want to know what love is? Here's his explanation. Walk according to his commandment. Then you say to yourself, well, what is his commandment? Look what he says. And this is his commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. Now, walk in what? That little word, it, by the way, is connected to the antecedent feminine nouns of truth and love. Both are feminine. But is he saying walk in love, or is he saying walk in truth? Well, the nearest antecedent, of course, is the commandment. Therefore, I take this to be the truth. This is his commandment, that you walk in it, in the truth. That's his whole big picture, right? Verse 4, I rejoice greatly to find some of my children doing what? Walking in the truth. And then he equates walking in the truth with loving one another. And you want to know what love is because you think, well, that must be something different. He says, no, that's walking in his commandments. Okay, well, what is his commandments? His commandments is walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. Notice how John explains our confession in verse 6, that we walk according to his commandments, not my commandments, not some commandments that the church has come up with, that the church fathers have laid down, not some creed or confession, though those are valuable and important. No, his commandments, the commandments that belong to God. And not only is his commandment there, but this is the commandment, definite. This is what God really is saying. This is what we are to do and believe and do because we believe. Walk in it. Walk in the truth. So the only true doctrine is actually what God commands. That's the only true doctrine. That's the teaching of Jesus in verses 7 through 11 versus the false teaching. The doctrine, the teaching, the truth. And then Jesus explains about our behavior, doesn't he? He says, walk according to it, walk in it. Don't run, because running implies going ahead. That's part of the warning he gives in verses 7 through 11. Whoever does not abide in the teaching, but goes on ahead, oh, watch out. No, don't get ahead of yourself. You don't need to get ahead of the truth. Stay in the truth. Stay in the commandments of Christ, and the commandments of God is what John is saying. And so he explains our behavior. Walk in it. Now, have you ever thought about that, walking? They say of preachers that they should walk around their text. They should walk in their text. They should live in the text. They should let the texts around them think about it. Wherever they go, they're thinking about the text. And you look at this angle and you look at that angle and you say, is that what God's saying or is that not what God is saying? What is God meaning in this word? Because it's his word, a single word, in his word. What does he mean? And you walk around it and you examine it and you test it and you apply it. And you say, that's not what he means. This is what he means. Then you refine it and you just keep walking around and around and in the text. That's what it means to apply yourself devotional in relationship with Christ to his commandments. Walk in it. Don't walk outside of it and forget about it tomorrow. No, spend time. Spend time. And really, the only true ethic in the passage is to do what he says. To do what God says. If walking in the truth is the same as loving one another in the passage, then I need to learn and lean on Jesus. Because it's not easy to walk in the truth. There's lots of attacks on the truth, isn't there? Just state the truth and see what someone says. Not easy to walk in the truth. Not easy to love one another either, is it? Not easy to love each other. That's why I think you have the bridge that joins together mind and heart, brings together the truth and the love together. Because if I apply myself to walking in the truth, I shall find that I love my brother and sister. And if I apply myself to loving, I shall find that the truth is there and I'm walking in the truth. I am too weak to do this by myself. I'm too weak to do this. I can't do this by myself. I have no strength in and of myself to live like this. This is why the Christian gospel is so paramount and so important, because it brings us above everything that the world offers. I can do what the world does. I've done what the world does. I know what the world does. That's the natural man. That's the unbeliever. We know that. But when Christ comes, he elevates everything, doesn't he? And he puts us on a different plane altogether. And the Christian life is described as new life, a new mind, a new heart. Everything brand new. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We are a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, if I'm too weak to walk in the truth, I'm too selfish to love one another. By myself? Too selfish. That's why I need Jesus. Can't do this by yourself, dear congregation. You need Christ to walk in the Word. You need Christ to love one another. Christ is everything. That's what I'm saying to you. That's what I always say to you. It's Jesus only. It's Christ alone. That's the issue. And so the only true relationship, which is my devotion, is to the Father and to His Son. That's why the false teaching is so important for us to understand in verse 7. Because if you don't confess that Jesus came in the flesh, as verse 7 says, you're outside. You're not in the truth. And you don't know how to love one another. So important that my devotion be to the Father and to the Son. Not as the Son less than the Father, but the Son equal with the Father. Make sure I've got the truth right. How do you know that you have the Father and the Son? Just because you say it, it's not enough. Your confession must be seen. There must be fruit, evidence. You shall know them, Jesus says, by their fruits. All of us are producing fruit. Even the unbeliever is producing fruit, but it's not fruit for God. It's fruit for self. Are you walking in the truth? Are you loving one another? That's what John wants to remind us of this morning. It's God's commandment to walk in the truth. It's God's commandment to love one another. It's not a new commandment. We've had it since Jesus gave it. What's required of you and me is to be obedient. Let us love one another and let us walk in the truth. Let's pray together.